We hope you enjoy this teaching by Pastor Sharon Kelly and Wave Church. We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching. We believe that it will enrich and empower your life.
Well, good morning. You may be seated. How you doing? Good morning to our online campus and Seaboard Road and Greenville. Good morning to you. And yeah, it is a little snowy, although it's rainy now, so we got a little snow this week, which was just kind of nice. You know, a couple of my grandkids, the little girls who are 3 years old, they haven't really seen snow in their lifetime. They were babies probably last time it snowed. And so they were out in this snow. In fact, one of my granddaughters, Lennon, just runs out and eats it. She grabs a bowl of snow and she's like, tastes so good. I ought to be three, right? And eat snow. That's the worst of your worries. So Steve has been brilliantly and beautifully teaching us the series, or actually the overarching theme for the year is Don't Lose Your Dance, which I just love. Some of you probably hate dancing. Some of you are like, whatever. Some love dancing. But really it's, you know, a challenge to not lose the hop, the skip, the step in our life. And with a year like we've just had, it's very, very easy to do that, you know. I was saying in the first service, you know, there have been periods of time in the last year where I have felt like I have lost that a little bit. You know, there's certain markers in a year that you are used to that happened that didn't happen. And it's like, oh, okay, well, we just got to pivot. And now we've got to pivot again and be flexible and flexible again, right? And I know we've all been through that. But I have loved what he has brought to our church because we're keeping Jesus front and center. Jesus is the beginning, the middle, and the end. And I love the thought of David. You know, he talked about David dancing. So the premise to David dancing was the Ark of the Covenant, which, you know, in the Old Testament, that's where the presence of God was housed in this Ark of the Covenant. And that's what it was called. And it had been missing for 70 years because the Philistines had fought a war with the Israeli people, and the Israeli people lost, and the Philistines took the Ark of the Covenant, and no one knew where it was. And David found it. Can you imagine? Look, going to look for the presence of God. Where are you? And we take so much for granted. Let me tell you, boy. And so King David is dancing like a crazy person. He's dancing because, first of all, we've located God's presence. And I want to build a temple that will house it, where people can come and experience who God is, because I know him and I just want people to know him too. And so, you know, the Ark of the Covenant is coming. He's excited. And think about when you get really excited about something. Like when you're excited about something, you usually talk a mile a minute, right? You talk so fast and you can't stop talking about it because it's something you've dreamed about or something's happened in your life. And it's like, oh my gosh, so here's King David. Now, typically in that culture, girls danced. So, you know, men were not really probably the dancers, but you've got a king, a man, first of all, and a king who is dancing. So this was a really unique moment in time, and David is dancing. Lord, oh, to dance to you. This is a monumental occasion. And I believe that this year for us will be a monumental year, that God is moving, and he's moving in your life and my life, and he wants to do incredible things in and through us. But I was thinking about dance. You know, yesterday, we have three kids who are all married and they all have children. And yesterday, two of the families sent videos. Thank you, Jesus, for being a grandma in the 21st century, because I get all these videos. We can FaceTime. It's just brilliant. And I got videos of kids dancing. You know, when kids dance, they just don't care, right? The music starts and they're like, and they don't care what they look like, and they're all about it. As we get a little bit older, we get a little bit more self-conscious. We worry about how we look. We worry about everything sometimes. We overthink, we over whatever. But some of us have really great rhythm. Others of us not so good. Like, have you ever been to a wedding and just seen that person? And you're like, ooh, that's just not good. But when you see people who can dance, like really can dance, You know, over the last 15 years, we've been blessed with as a show called Dancing with the Stars. Some of you will have watched it. Yeah, it's been going for 15 years, 30 seasons of this show. Can you believe it? I mean, in TV world, that is a long time. And so the premise of the show is, for those of you who have never watched it or never heard of it, is that a celebrity will be chosen to dance with a professional dancer. And then at the end of the season, someone wins. And so this morning I thought, well, we have to watch some really great dancing because there's just something about when people dance well that's like kind of mesmerizing, right? So check out, this is Bindi Irwin, had to get the Aussie in, with Derrico. Check out this. Do you know, in the lead up to that, they actually won, they were the winners of that season. But she lost toenails. She ended up with, they showed these, her knees were so bruised. They interviewed him and said, you know, over the seasons of Dancing with the Stars, who is your, is there a favorite dancer? And he actually said, and this was recently, he goes, I have to give a shout out to Bindi Irwin. He said, because she was injured, she lost toenail, she did not miss a beat. The rehearsals are grueling, the practice is insane, but she was determined. And that the finished product, it was pretty amazing. So, there's something about great dancing. Also, you know, last week, I think Mark Hopkins showed, was it Riverdance that he showed, do you remember? Isn't that awesome too? Isn't it funny how when people dance together in like kind of time, unison, whatever, you just like watch, right? Like people pay big bucks to go and see Riverdance dancing. It's just because there's something about it. What about the New York Rockettes? Anyone seen the Rockettes? I mean, dang, those legs and full in time. It's just unbelievable. And to be a Rockette is grueling, hard, and competitive. It's not just, they don't just take any dancer. You've got to be exceptional. But you know, I was thinking about that. And thinking how, you know, I think I want to dance through life, right? The thought of dancing, there's joy, laughter, fun. It's hard to, like I think Steve said a couple of weeks ago, it's hard to be mad and dance, hard to be grumpy and dance, hard to be frustrated and dance, hard to be ticked off and dance. Because dancing, there's just something about it that just feels joyous, that just creates a great atmosphere, a great mood. I think all of us would say, yeah, I want to dance through life. But right now, it just doesn't look like I can. Maybe you just feel like you've lost your rhythm. Like I was saying, through the year, there was different markers that happened typically in a year that didn't happen. And I was like, whoa, okay, pivot. And you've just lost your rhythm. Yesterday, I was looking at Instagram and I came across the Good News Movement. A good follow is Good News Movement. And I found these beautiful seniors. And so maybe you're sitting there going, I've lost my rhythm. I just don't even think I can get it back. Just check out what these people do. I love that. Like, I'm sorry. I just saw that and I just smiled really big. And I'm like, I'm not waiting to 80. I'm gonna get one of those balls in a washing basket and I'm gonna beat that thing. I'm gonna beat out all my frustration. I'm gonna get the grandkids over. We're doing drum lessons. We are going for, I always wanted to be a drummer. Now my dream can come true. I don't know if I love the seniors doing it or the instructor who was just so into it. Thank God for people who love our seniors like that. I was like, wow, that is awesome. But if those women, I think they were mostly women, if they can get their rhythm, don't you think you can't? You can find your rhythm. You absolutely can. Jesus promises a life rich in joy, rich in a rhythm with him. He says this in Matthew 11, In the Message Bible, around 29, verse 29, Jesus says this, come to me. Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. And then he says these words that are just so beautiful. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. And you know, as I read those words, I just think about a beautiful waltz, right? Those of you who've ever done any ballroom dancing, any, you know, basic 101, you know, walk with me, work with me, watch how I do. Isn't that a beautiful, oh, well, it was beautiful to me. All the girls would be like, yeah, yes, yes. And all the guys are like, whatever. But that's the life that Jesus calls us to. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. You know, when Steve and I were getting married, he talked about it, waltz lessons. And, you know, any kind of dance is hard when you're not naturally a dancer. And I just remember in our rehearsals, we'd be bumping into, you know, because our whole bridal party did it. We'd bumping into people, we'd threaten on who's leading. What, you know what I mean? This beautiful waltz was turning into, you know what I mean? Have you ever been in that scenario? No. Years ago, that's what they did. We had dance lessons. And yeah. Was it worth it for the fun? Yes, it was really worth it. But all that to say is Jesus says to us, walk with me, watch how I do it. He's taking the leap. We don't have to worry about, who's leading this show? You know, if you've got a partner that's, well, I'm just going to move around and it gets very, very awkward. Jesus says, no, walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. He's taking the lead. He's holding your hand. He's going to show you and walk you through the beautiful moments in your life. He'll be there. And the tough moments in your life, he is there. And so I was thinking about this. This whole movement and rhythm and dance. You know, you'll say to him, Jesus, it's not easy. It's just not easy. And he'll say to you, I'm holding you. I'm leading you. I'm guiding you. I'm showing you. And pretty soon you'll get into a rhythm with me. It's funny how if you start a devotional, if you just a little every day, how it becomes part of your life. Like even reading the Word of God, sometimes for us as believers, we become a Christian. We're like, oh, gosh, you know, what now? What do I do? And you see this Bible that people hand to you and you're like, wow, it's just a, you know, it's a lot. And I always say to people, go to the New Testament. So the Bible's divided into Old Testament and New Testament. Old Testament, before Jesus came, New Testament talks about the story of Jesus. And go to one of the first four books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and just go through the story of Jesus. That's what it's really talking about. And just take some notes. And you'll be amazed how many of them have said to me, I learned so much. I felt like I understood. In fact, I felt like maybe God spoke to me a little bit. As we walk with him and work with him and watch how he does it. So I'm just going to, a couple of insights into the dance, this dance or this rhythm. The first thing I want to talk about is the dance of relationships. Because I think that's one of the biggest challenges we have as people is just, you know, conflict and tension seems to be ruling our hearts right now. And so I just wanted to pull out a few scriptures and we'll just talk about it. Because God gives us great wisdom to live by. First scripture I want to pull out is Matthew 18:20. And the Bible says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them. So maybe you're watching at home with your family, gather those two or three. There's Jesus, boom, right there. People who love him, he's ready to meet with. A couple of you together, whoa! Even coming to church, I hope you feel that excitement. When we're there, God's presence is gonna be there. It's just not we're just getting together with some people. No, 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 no. Where two or three or more are gathered. People who love me with their heart. Oh, I'm there. He's just not casually, you know what, I might get there. No, he's there. Do you understand? He's there. There in a heartbeat. Strength and power. God's presence comes in gathering. And, you know, our community group semester's just started. And for those of you who aren't in a community group, can I encourage you to get in a community group? Because where two or three are gathered, guess what? Boom, God turns up. But God is saying to us, you're created to be together. I know we talk about it a lot, but honestly, you will develop relationships, friendships. You'll be able to talk through the challenges, the highs, the lows of life. You'll be able to be vulnerable and, you know, just get to know people. And it will help you on your Christian journey. I'm standing here because 40 years ago, I was in a community group. New believer. Sat around with a group of people. We talked about Jesus, things I didn't even understand. They talk about things I'm like, I have no idea what they're talking about. but I allowed them to help me walk with Jesus and work with Jesus and watch how he did it. Second scripture, Matthew 22, 37. And he said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. So remember when Moses went up the mountain and he wrote down 10 commandments, Jesus comes and says, okay, 10 is a lot. You guys couldn't keep up. Guess what? Don't have to worry about the 10. There's only two. Love God with everything in your heart. Everything. Everything about you. Love him. And then love your neighbor as yourself. So just thinking about that, I was thinking, you know, sometimes or often we're very kind to people we work with, to neighbors, but sometimes the people closest to us. When the disciples said, who is my neighbor? Hey, it's the person right beside you. Sometimes they get the brunt of a bad day, of just a tough season, and we don't tend to treat them the way we should. I was thinking about, you know, Steve's mom and dad, beautiful, incredible people. And Steve has shared this story, but a number of years ago, they were drinkers, and then his dad kind of switched addictions and started gambling. So the drinking had stopped, and this gambling started unbeknownst to the family. Although his mom kind of had a little bit of an idea, so she was right. But I remember Steve went to a men's retreat with his dad, about 50 men, and he went up on that. So at the end, the pastor said, you know, what has God spoken to you about? What is he saying? What is your takeaway from the men's retreat? And he said, my dad went up to the whiteboard and he wrote these words, I can no longer hide from you. And he said, I watched my dad write those and I thought, wow, what's that about? Well, it wasn't just a number of weeks later where his dad went to Steve and said, would you come to me to talk to your mom because we have all this gambling debt that she knows nothing about. What was happening in that moment with Steve's dad? He was walking with Jesus. He was working with Jesus. He was watching how Jesus does it. And the Holy Spirit of God, as he does, put a little finger on an area in his life that wasn't right. See, when you walk with Jesus and you work with him, he's going to put his finger on things in your life and go, come on now, come on now. If you want to get to where you know you're supposed to be, you've got to address that issue. And so he went and spoke to his mom, his wife, and Steve and I were there. And I remember watching a woman with incredible forgiveness. I mean, he didn't know if she was going to stay because she had thought all along, something is up. And then I watched a man become the man he'd always hoped he'd be because he was now honest. As he was walking with Jesus and working with him, his honesty, vulnerability, transparency, everything a marriage should be that he wasn't stepping up to be. Talk about love your neighbor. He had to step right up and say, I want to honor you as my wife. I want to treat you the way you should be treated. And I have not done that. Do you know, we watched a marriage be transformed and become an absolute legacy to the Kelly family. I'm so, so grateful. Luke 9:46 says this, an argument started among the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. Jesus, knowing their thoughts, took a little child and had him stand beside him. And then he said to them, whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. For he is the one who is least among you all who is the greatest. Another great relationship lesson from Jesus. Listen, you disciples, you're not better than anyone else. Sure, I picked you to walk alongside of me, but you start thinking you're better and you're all this and you're all that. What a great lesson for us. We're not all this, we're not all that. We don't get it all the time. And here's some men who walked beside Jesus, who did life with him for a couple years and still got it wrong. You know, sometimes we look at believers who have been Christians for a while, well, they got that wrong. Yep, guess what? We gotta allow people to be human, right? We're all walking with Jesus. We're all working with Jesus. But to me, I'm like, God, always let us walk this out with humility. Second dance I want to point out is the dance of everyday life. Jesus, 100% consistent. Who he said he was, he was. What he said he would do, he did. He talked to everyone. He didn't major on the minors. He understood his mission was to seek and save the lost. And he knew it was about his Father's business. He understood everything about human life because he did human life. Everything. Betrayal, disappointment, temptation, absolute heartbreak. I love the scripture Steve quoted a couple weeks ago, John 11:35. Jesus wept at the death of his friend Lazarus. When he saw the grief, he was overcome with that emotion that we all sense when someone is walking through a deep loss. You know, the last couple of weeks, a couple of families that are close to Steve and I lost a young adult. One lost a young adult son, one lost a young adult daughter. The son was married, he leaves a wife and a baby on the way. And we have watched both of these families find Jesus in their everyday. Oh man, we have sat and talked with them and just hearing their faith, solid faith. In fact, Chase's service was yesterday and his dad got up in the service and he said these words, because Chase had a brain tumor that he had fought for 10 and a half years. He said, "We didn't see healing the way we thought." Chase is in heaven. He's in the presence of God. He said, "But don't you," talking to everybody that was there, "don't you stop praying for healing." What a man of faith. In his grief and brokenheartedness, that he can say to you, "I know the God I served. And because my prayer was answered differently than what I thought, I know who God is and I know what he can do in your life. So don't you draw back. You keep praying, you keep trusting, you keep believing." Another couple of ours who over 10, 12 years ago lost a 17-year-old son. We have vacationed with this couple, Rob and Laura Koch. And I have watched them find their rhythm as they walked with Jesus and worked with Jesus and watched how he did it. I've watched them. You know, if you go to dinner with Rob and Laura and there's a wait, so there's a 30-minute wait. And if there's music playing, they always grab each other and start dancing. I just love it. I've watched joy come to their lives when they thought, "Will it ever happen again?" I've watched laughter. I've watched them begin a foundation that did some work in Haiti. They built Caleb homes because their son's name was Caleb. And I watched their son, their now son-in-law, was raised through one of these homes. They've watched, they've worked, walked with Jesus. They've worked with him. And they've watched what he's done. That God would use that to now pick out a son-in-law for their daughter. Third thing, the dance of loving my life. I want to love my life. Do you want to love your life? But if I asked you today, do you love your life? Like, do you really love your life? Some of you be like, "I love my life." Others of you are like, "Eh." Some of you might say, "I don't love my life." But I want to encourage you today. There was a beautiful couple in the New Testament I've talked about. I love this couple, Zechariah and Elizabeth. They were believing God for a baby. Beautiful Christians, 10 out of 10. And they thought they were too old. In fact, they were too old. Naturally speaking, they were too old. And then God does something. Zechariah, who's a priest, goes in to perform his priestly duty, and guess what happens? An angel comes and says, "You're gonna have a baby." And he's like, "What? Impossible." And the angel goes, "Okay, you're gonna be mute until the baby comes because you're gonna screw this up if you say anything else." And I'm like, "God, I wonder if I've screwed up a miracle because I've said something stupid." You know what I mean? Because I haven't believed, haven't trusted. But anyway, so this baby comes and he grows up. This is what the Bible says about him. They're talking about this was John the Baptist. "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to bear witness." So he was the forebearer. He was coming before Jesus to prepare a way. But what was he like? What did he look like? Well, we We get a little bird's eye view in Matthew. Matthew says, now John wore a garment of camel's hair. Okay, that's kind of random. And a leather belt around his waist. And his food was locusts and honey. And he lived in the wilderness. So basically, you've got this long-haired man covered in camel hair and a belt, and he's eating locusts and honey. I can tell you, even back then, if your diet's locusts and honey, that's just plain weird. I mean, the Jewish people could, they're all about food and hospitality. And so can you imagine this couple who have this baby? Oh my gosh, God sent him. He baptizes Jesus as an older man. But he grows up and he's like, this kid is weird. Like this miracle, God, weird. I wonder if people were like, hey, that's Zach and Liz's son. A little weird, he's just weird. Maybe he didn't look like or appear like what they thought, but he was God's perfect plan. And I say that to say to you that what you have prayed for about your life, where you are right now, it might look very, very different to what you thought. There might have been great success, but with it has come great challenge. Or your life just doesn't look like what you had hoped. When you walk with Jesus, when you work with him, when you watch how he does it, then you'll understand you're on mission wherever you are right now. Lord, I'm walking with you. I'm working with you, and I'm understanding that even though my life might look weird, weirder than I thought it would, God, this I know, you are for me, that I am called, that I'm your daughter, I'm your son, that your will happen in my life because I'm retaining that rhythm. I'm walking with you. I'm working with you. And I'm watching how you do it. And so maybe the job and boss you have, God's given it to you. Maybe that child that is just, well, difficult. Oh yeah, God sent them just for you. Maybe that neighbor, God's put you right beside them. That spouse, yep, he or she is a gift to you. Those parents, yep, the ones who are hovering, the ones who are just making boundaries, the ones who won't let me do what everybody else is doing. God, thank you for those parents. My education. See, I thought when I was at college, then I would go out and I'd get this incredible job and I would be this and I'd be that. Thank you, God, for that education that I was able to get. The challenges in this business. Friend, God's leading you and he's guiding you. If you walk with him and you work with him, watch what he does. I want to finish with a song that I kept thinking about as Steve was doing this series on Don't Lose Your Dance. I just kept, you know, Steve and I aren't really country music people. There's nothing wrong with country music. I'm sure y'all are just really into it and you just love it. I know they sell a lot of music and whatever. But it's just not, it's just a genre that we're not super into. But then there's this song that I stumbled across and it's called I Hope You Dance. And this is what it says. I hope you never lose your sense of wonder. I hope you get your fill to eat, but always keep that hunger. May you never take one single breath for granted. God forbid love ever leave you empty-handed. I hope you still feel small when you stand by the ocean. Whenever one door closes, I hope one more opens. Promise me you'll give faith a fighting chance. And when you get the choice to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance. I'm teary because after the 9 a.m. service, the Llewellyn family who lost Chase were sitting right there. And they texted right afterwards and they said, you're not going to believe it, but Chase danced to that song with his mum on his wedding. And I just was reminded that when you walk with Jesus and you work with Jesus, watch what he does. It ain't no coincidence that I picked that song today. It's a kiss from heaven. Walk with him. Work with him. Watch what he does. I just want to finish this morning. We've done dancing in the last few weeks, but I just wanted our hearts to be just open. Lord, walk with us, work with us. So I'm going to ask us to stand, and the team is going to lead us in a worship song. I just wanted this morning, if you could just talk to Him. Lord Jesus, help me walk with You and work with You. I want to watch and see You do it. Lord, help me walk with You and work with You and watch how You do it. Lord, help me walk with You and work with You and watch how You do it. The only way I'm going to get through this is if I walk with You and work with You and watch how You do it. Lord, I pray. Help us, Lord Jesus. We need You. We love You. We honor You. And with every head bowed and every eye closed this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to know Jesus. Do you know Jesus, friend? Let me tell you, this earth life is hard. Hard. But thank God He sent Jesus so that after this earth life is done, eternity waits heaven in God's presence. Friend, you can't even imagine what that is like. But guess what? You don't have to wait for heaven. You can experience God's love, forgiveness when you surrender your life to Him. So this morning across our auditorium and for people watching online, I want to give you the opportunity. Do you know Jesus? And if you want to, if you want me to pray with you, I'm not going to embarrass you, get you out of your seat, you stay right with you. We're just going to pray a prayer together. Just lift your hand up right now. Say, Sharon, yeah, could you pray for me? I want to know Jesus. I want to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Right across, wonderful, I see you. Anyone else, just lift your hand. Say, Sharon, can you pray for me? I want to say, I see you. Anyone else this morning? We've got decisions happening online. Anyone else this morning? I want to pray that prayer. I want to surrender my life to Jesus. I see you. Wonderful. Well, church, let's pray this prayer together. Say, dear Lord Jesus, thank You that You died for me. And right now, I ask You, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. I am sorry for my sin. But thank You now. You reside in me. And I walk out of here a Christian. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, church. Congratulations to all those people who raised their hand.
We hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Sharon Kelly. You can find more resources by Pastor Sharon at stevekelly.tv and wavechurch.com.